Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. Hopefully everybody's doing well out there. I don't have much for an opening, so let's get right to it. This episode, my guest is former member of ECW's Full-Blooded Italians, Big Sal E. Graziano. Now, I guess I should say, not former member. You'll see, you're here. Sal corrects me. It's FBI for life, apparently. So he's still a member of the Full-Blooded Italians. So let's take a break, and when I come back, I'll have my interview with Big Sal. Phil Center Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, PhilSingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by a former member of the Full-Blooded Italians in ECW, Big Sal E. Graziano. Sal, how are you?
Well, to be fair, I'm still a member. They call me all the time and ask me questions. I'm not former. Like, they don't just ignore me. Come on.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we just did Austin Championship Wrestling in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
And I was asked. It was really nice. I got to do some commentary, which was great.
Yeah.
And Zach Clayton, Guido, and Danny Doring were the FBI that night, and Danny, it was great. So yeah, we it was a lot of fun. It was good times.
So Danny did the FBI that night. Huh?
Oh, Danny channeled Tracy Smothers.
Yeah, I can see that.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
I bet. All right, well, let's talk a little about you. And I apologize then. No, not former, just a member of the FBI.
Yeah, always going to be a member.
That's right. Let's start at the beginning. Who trained you? Where did you get your start?
Johnny Rods. So Johnny Rods, who's right now, he just threw his Hall of Fame and everything else. The first wrestling thing. So, of course, if you ask anybody in my age bracket, they'll all tell you the same thing. We all watched wrestling on Saturday mornings. We all went to the shows with dad, grandpa, mom, dad. It didn't matter. We all went to the locals. That was back when Vince was running churches in Brooklyn and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, you got to meet the guys. You got to meet Sergeant Slaughter and the Samoans and Swede Hansen and, you know, Captain Lou.
Yeah.
Like that's so, you know, we all always been doing it. And then when we turned into teenagers, I was living in Woodbridge, New Jersey. And I was going to UWA shows, old mm-hmm. Dennis Galam shows.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a local guy around here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and it was like, still, you know, Cheetah Kid, Ted Petty.
Yeah.
And so like got to see him and Johnny Grunge, like all those guys who were doing the indie shows. Like it was just, you know, you're a teenager, so you're going, this is great. I can't wait to see, you know. And I was at a show and I was in the front row because I was a mark. I didn't, you know, wasn't in the business at all. Like I was just going with my brother and Big Sweet William, Bill DeMott.
Yeah.
He was, I want to say he was doing a Road Warrior Crash.
Yeah.
And we were in the front row and he, you know, started screaming at my brother because it was just, you know, we were marks. And I jumped up because, you know, you're a kid, you're an idiot. And he sold for it. Like he sold for it. And it was just like, everybody thought I was part of the show.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh man. So people were talking to me in the front row because they thought I was going to do a run in or something. And I'm here. Honestly, no joke. I'm 16, 17 years old. Like I'm an idiot. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just like, oh no, you know, just hanging out. But after the show, I talked to him. Turned out he was trained by Johnny too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joel Goodhart, he had spoke mm-hmm. to me and asked me about his wrestling. You know, he had his school. And I was like, oh, wow. Oh my God. Like, yeah, that's great. Because this is kind of pre-internet and there was no, you couldn't just look up wrestling schools yet.
Yeah.
You know, looking through the phone book and stuff, there was nothing. But Joel was in Upper Pennsylvania and I didn't have a license yet. So I wasn't, you know, able to get there. We looked around and then my father came to me one day and he said, you know, cause my dad worked in the city and he goes, Johnny Rods has a school in Brooklyn. I said, oh, okay. And so my dad traveled in and out every day for work. So he would bring me in. We went and met Johnny and then I just stayed there. Like my dad would drop me off in the morning, kind of work out and then, you know, stay there. And then he'd pick me up at the end of the day or whatever. So it was like kind of one of those things, we made it work. And then I stayed with Johnny and just met, that's where I got to meet everybody else. And then not knowing I'm going to be with these guys pretty much for the rest of my friggin' life. Can't get rid of them.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're trying to break in at that time period, right, the Northeast is almost where you had to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was exactly. Yes.
It was that's all the indie wrestling there really was. And yeah. Where the you know, the right schools were and things like that. I mean,
you had the Samoans in Allentown,
yep.
Which again, at the time I was 16, 17 years old, those that might as well be 10 million miles away.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I live in Woodbridge, yeah. New Jersey. So it's like yeah. Allentown, Pennsylvania. Well, where the hell's that? You know, even my first show, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Right. I thought that place was the sticks. I'm like, this place is a dump. They have cattle unloading in the middle of town. Years later lived in Hackettstown. You know what I mean? So it's like it's just ridiculous how like all the world works in circles like that. You just meet all the people you met at one point and people you never thought you'd see again. These people are in your life forever. So, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, and one thing. You know, any of us that read the magazines, you know, all the After Mags and different things about the Northeast is that's also where former TV talent often went and kept working, which you got to work with a lot of those guys at the beginning of your career, right?
What an
introduction. I mean, that's pretty wild.
So that was like legit. That was like, I tell people that and I'm honored by it. And I don't want to get lame over and be like, oh, this is so deep. But I was really honored by it. Like I got to travel with, you know, Cousin Luke, SD Jones, you know, JYD, you know, Nikolai Volkoff, Ken Patera. Like those guys were my whole summer.
Yeah.
Like that's what I did. My first summer in the business. I worked with those guys and, you know, just, and they all taught me and I, you know, guys like Vito LaGrasso, right?
Yep.
Angel from the Baldies.
Yep.
Those were the guys who I came in with. So Vito was there long before I was. He was already established more or less in the local. But I, you know, I was some new idiot who came in and they were super cool. And I got to learn old school. Like I got to learn the old school stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of those guys like you in your, that time period, that It's so weird because that's that bridge from the old and the new, right? Because you guys are still those, that last Vespiano, those guys doing the car trips with these guys, learning in the cars. But yet you're also, as you get started, it's transitioned over to this new thing. So you guys bridged that gap.
Yeah, you know what? And at the time, and I always say this, and it's popular or unpopular, it doesn't matter, whatever. But like NWO era kind of killed that old school shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm cursing.
No, no. Say whatever you want.
The NWO killed that, where heels, baby faces, that was gone. Yeah. Now it was everybody has to be an edgy heel.
Yeah.
Even if you're a face, you gotta get edgy and, you know, be funny, have jokes and have that.
Yeah.
It just ended the era of that. But like, and again, even us, like, there was a joke, Johnny Rods at school, we'd go to a school and then go to work out. Johnny would hit you with a chair, a brick, a 2x4, whatever was laying around. And he would laugh and he'd go, ECW. And you couldn't get mad because he yelled ECW.
That's right.
But he could hit you with whatever he wanted to hit you with. He could, a ladder, whatever was laying around, he would grab and hit you if you weren't paying attention. And if he yelled ECW, you can't get mad.
So funny.
Because that was the joke. Like, that was the transition. Guys like Dances with Dudleys, mm-hmm. Big Dick, Bubba, all those guys, they had come through the school. They'd stop by. And Adolfo, Dances with Dudley, he was from there. Bubba had been around. Big Dick had been around. So, like, all these guys had been around. And ECW was still one of those, like, I'm drunk, I'm going to watch this at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. It wasn't quite the big pop it is, you know, that it has now.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing. It was like, nobody strived to be there.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, I want to go to ECW. It was just like, oh, wow, okay, cool. I was given this opportunity. Let's go. Let's try this.
Yeah. So then let's talk about that, right? Around 98, you went to ECW. How did that opportunity come up?
97, Devon Dudley.
Okay.
So, again, Devon and me, we, you know, worked together in Johnny's. And it was, he had, the first day he had said to me, he's like, hey, I want you to come up. I said, sure. I broke my ankle in Martin Luther King High School at an indie show.
Oh, no.
Because I did not wear boots. Mm. So this is a true story. I forgot my boots like an idiot. And we did a show and I didn't have any of my, I didn't have my boots. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go out. I'm going to go out as a Samoan. Because it was as a joke during the summer, Jimmy Snuka had me wear my hair down. He said, you could be Samoan, brother. And he made a joke. And so I went out and I did a stupid Samoan thing. Like, it was just ridiculous because I'm not. And, you know, and I felt weird. And I was like, okay, yeah. So we did it. Cousin Luke comes over and he says, hey, do you want to go out for the Battle Royal? I said, yeah, sure. Why not? It was like an afterthought. I went out. I went over the top rope chasing someone else and I hit my ankle on the guardrail and it broke.
Oh.
Just as we were going home and it was just like, oh man. So I was like, oh, I sprained my ankle. And I got home and my ankle was black and it was just like, and then Devon's like, hey, I want you to come up. I'm like, well, kind of have a problem with that. So it waited a while. And then the next round he asked, he said, we're going to be in Queens. Are you around? I said, yeah, I'll make it. And then I got invited to the show, brought my stuff. And I, you know, again, I had been there as Mark, you know, it was just like, oh man, cool.
Yeah.
So I got to go and then he invited me in and then I did the bit with Spike and that was, again, I've told the story like a thousand times and it's like Shane Douglas and Bam Bam and all those guys were there and I did the deal with Spike, came in and out, done. It was like super easy. And I come in the back and you know, Spike comes over to me and he's looking at me and I said, hey, thank you. And I go to the back and Shane's sitting there and he's staring at me and he goes, well, you fucked up. And I said, well, oh man. Like, so now I'm like pissing myself. Like, oh my God, I fucked up. And he goes, well, you got a spot. And I was like, oh my God, you get it. All right. And everybody starts laughing. It was kind of like, okay, great. But yeah. but yeah, that was the first night in Queens. And it was just like, again, it's one of the things I'll never forget it. It was fun. It was like, just, I felt like I was drunk. you know, one of those things, like it's like you just don't remember everything because everything just felt like you were in space.
Yeah.
And then I realized, you know, then you go home and you're like, oh, I'm an ECW. That's weird.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, okay. If somebody listening may not know, right, that you're talking with Spike, right? The 30-second match, whatever, right? The
yep.
Kick to the balls, acid drop. Yep. When they were doing the Spike Giant Killer stuff.
Yeah, and they had no idea what he wanted me to do. And he said, go out and start posing like Hulk Hogan. So here it was. I was doing this Hogan bit where this big fat guy come out and he posing people. He's booing me because they don't know who I am. They know nothing.
Yeah.
And Spike comes out, hits the, you know, Giant Killer shit. And then it was good. It was like, and then me and him did that for a bunch. And again, nothing. It was so easy working. Spike is amazing. Spike's awesome.
Sure.
So, I mean, yeah, it was just one of those things where it's just like, okay. And then, you know, that was like the first step into, I guess I was, you know, I was doing my own big boy stuff because now I wasn't with the old timers who were just all around. Hey, whatever they're doing, I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, do your own thing, make your own choices, do that stuff. And it was kind of like, well, okay. Now I've done indies and stuff, but it was always still working with like Ken Patera, JYD, or, you know, Cousin Luke. So seeing those guys, it was like familiar. And then here I am now, aside from like, so Dreamer and D-Von and, you know, I knew those guys and Taz, you know, and it was just, it was still kind of like, okay, well, I still know people, but it was now this was scarier. Yeah.
Yeah. And you said, right. They didn't really know what they were doing with you yet.
Nope.
Right.
And no.
Obviously it worked, you know, a little bit with Spike that was playing into what they were doing. It worked. When did the direction come with, hey, maybe we'll put you with the FBI? Was that when Tommy and Tracy left?
And no, I was so I'm terrible with times and names.
Yeah.
So like I don't get the pay-per-view names right. I don't all that shit. I just never. I'm not good with it. They were going to do a thing with me. It was brought up. Me, Danny Doering, and Chris Chetty. So I'm sorry to wander on this, but it's like I met people from Woodbridge in my area that I didn't know. So Dawn Marie, I went to high school with her.
Yeah.
We had no idea.
Yeah.
neither of us were in any contact with the other. Danny Doering, he was next town over. You know, he was at JFK. So it's like I met these guys and I'm like, oh, where you live? And he's like, oh, here. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm over here. And she's like, I'm like, where do you live? She's like, oh, I'm over here. So it was just kind of like one of those things.
Yeah.
So they were going to do a thing with me and Danny and Chris Chetty because Danny and Chris Chetty were going to do like a Night at the Roxbury gimmick.
Okay. All right.
And then I was going to be the bouncer and they were going to call me Sally Nightlife and I was just going to hold a disco ball over their heads and have,
oh, man.
And have a, and have like the rope so you can't cross.
Mm.
So nobody else can come in the club unless I let him in. Like that was the whole bit. And we wound up never doing it. And then they were talking about it. Then they put me with Just Incredible. I was with his circus for a bit. And then we were doing the one show and they just kind of said, why don't you go with Guido and put Guido on your shoulders?
Yeah.
I said, and I was like, sure. I mean, they could have told me to put a nail through my arm and I would have been like, all right. So it was like, okay. So we went and did it and it was kind of like, okay. And then we did the pay-per-view with Tommy and Tracy and me and Guido. And we came out with the flag and everything else. It was just like, it was literally Paul being like, how about we do this? And then Paul's like, Sal E. Graziano. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I, you know, sure. What am I going to say? No, like, no, I don't like it. I didn't understand it, but I was like, okay, sure. And then we just went from there. It just kind of just kept going.
Little did you know Guido be riding your shoulders the rest of your career.
The rest of my damn career.
That's right. But it worked, right? It was memorable. Because
it always did. It always worked.
Yeah, the big little thing, right? It was little Guido, big Sal. It was,
And it was one of the things like, well, let's give this a shot. And, you know, Guido being Guido, I don't know if you've had any interaction with him.
Yeah, a little bit, a little.
Okay. So you understand. A little weird. He's intense.
Yeah.
And he's a professional. So we have to talk about this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
We have to make sure this is hammered down. And he's constantly nervous because he never, you know, nobody wanted to mess up. And then you add Guido on top. You add the Guido intensity on top of that.
Yeah.
And it's just 100 times worse. which was hysterical and always made for great stories. But like to do the different stuff, like when we started doing the jumping off my shoulders, people were like, "Oh, that's great. That's great." It's like the simplest thing. It's like that just makes sense to do. Yeah, like it just made sense. People were like, "Oh, it's great. It's innovative. It's this." It's like, all right, sure.
I also got to get out.
Yeah. It's like, all right, sure. But yeah. And it was, you know, I'm like, it's literally a footstep up from the top turnbuckle. It's not even like an extra, like, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
But, it came down to, you know, Joey Styles selling it, you know, and just, from 9 feet in the air, you know, that sort of thing. And that's honestly, like, that's, you gotta think, that's why everybody, like all the people who get overlooked, I don't want to say overlooked cause he's not overlooked, but the people who get overlooked are the people who made our characters great. You know, we had a lot to do with it, sure. But the people like Joey and people in magazines and guys like Bill Apter and stuff like that, they made our characters like more.
Yeah.
So it was cool. I like that's to me. That's part of the business that I love. I like the creative side of things. And even to this day, like even if I get sick of wrestling, or, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, but I still like the creative part. I like seeing new stuff. Like, okay, that's cool. It's a good idea.
Yeah, so. And not only was Joey so good, but I mean, he was so good by himself, which was that was next level. I mean, there was no one to feed off of when he's calling that, and that's
absolutely
crazy. I guess I had to. I mean, this is a side note. I didn't really have this, but recently George Tejano passed away.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which you speak of, guys, right? This is the unofficial official ECW photographer, right? I mean, pretty much any picture you see related to ECW,
with George Tejano.
It's George,
and
what a guy. I mean, I talked to George so many times, and he was so fun.
He was unassuming. Like he wasn't, you know, he wasn't like on top, like, oh, I do the pictures. It was never him. He was just cool.
Yeah. It was always like, I'd share something, right? I'd share something and it'd be, and he'd message me, "Yo, Dave, that's my picture." And I'm like, I didn't post it, man. I just said, "Oh, that's all I know. I'm just telling you." I took that picture. I'm like, "All right, George." He's like, "Oh," then he's always, "Hey, by the way, man, I sell prints. You want to buy some?" He was always trying to sell me some prints. And
everybody at ECW is a hustler, man. Everybody got to get your stuff out.
That's right. Yeah, but so then later, Tony Mamaluke comes in, starts teaming with Guido. Now, I don't know Tony, right? Never interacted with him.
Awesome guy.
Yeah, he seems super intense as well, though. Does he match Guido in the intensity, or is it different?
No, it's a much different vibe.
Okay.
So he is a laid-back professional.
Okay.
When I say laid-back, he's not going to argue with someone to get his point. He's like, "Well, okay, we'll do it your way." And he's very, like, it's an opposite. And I think that's why everything worked out well. That's why I'm still friends with him. I call him, I talk to him all the time, because me and him clicked.
Yeah.
And people watch, it's funny, people watch the show and they're like, "Oh, remember when you threw him and you did this and you hated him?" I'm like, "Yeah, because it's, you know, and I don't really hate him. I love the guy." Like, it's like, I really love that kid. But like, he was trained by Dean Malenko.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to get that level of professionalism, and he's a chill dude. Like, he's not insane in that way. He's nuts because the shit he used to do. But like, even to this day, like, you talk to him, he is one of the nicest people you're ever going to meet.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he heals you, you feel better about yourself. You're just like, you're like, "Oh, well, thanks, man." And then you take a couple of days to go, "Oh shit, did he just, oh, son of a bitch."
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know,
he's great.
Well, this is the incarnation of the FBI that I always like most, I think, with cause I always thought, you know, Tony and Guido looked so good together. They seemed, it looked like a tag team. It looked like, you know, with you and the,
absolutely,
you and the big guy with them, it added this visual. It kind of, you know, was a little less on the comedy stuff, going back to, you know, like JT Smith and Tracy and Tommy. I love those guys. I love the comedy bits. But now it just felt man, you know, these guys can go. And they felt, it just felt right. It just felt like they gelled.
Well, that was the thing. Like, there would be points when I'm standing out there and I'd watch them chain wrestle and I'm like, "Jesus Christ." Like,
yeah.
Like, oh my God. And then like they would start talking about stuff in the back and they're talking about a match and doing this. And they're like, "And then we want you to come in." I'm like, "No, dude, don't, no. Stay, do what you guys are doing. Like, I don't want to break it up with something dopey." I'm like, "Do your thing, man. Like, cause this is awesome."
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's what got a lot of fan respect.
Yeah.
the fact that they would go and it would be boom, 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 boom. And then when there was a little lull, then we could do something, or I cheat, or do, you know, come in some way. But like, the fact was they could go.
Yeah.
So like, you want to go? We'll go. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And then we could still do, they let us be a little bit more us on promos and stuff. They let us, you know, say goofy things or kind of throw out little silly stuff.
Yeah.
And that got us over too.
Like, yeah. It's always that thing, right? They were small guys, but you're still like, I wouldn't fuck with those guys because they might be small.
So,
you know, they know where to put the pressure on. And they can...
Listen, I'm not talking out of turn. This is a well-known story. There was an altercation at an adult beverage establishment in Florida. And one of the bouncers who we were everybody was leaving. You know, it was time for us to go. The owner had asked us to hang out. So we did, and we hung out for a little longer. And the bouncer came and was like, okay, everybody got to go. And he happened to come across Guido. Mm. And he gave Guido the okay, buddy, gave him the little nudge. And Guido's like, no, no, it's okay. And he's trying to explain. And he's like, no, 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 we're cool. We're all right. And then he goes, the guy said we could stay. And the bouncer's just like, okay. And he pushes Guido, like dead center chest push. And all I looked across the bar and I saw arm go over, and he arm locked this dude, dropped him, dropped him like a habit, like bad habit, man. And I was, more happened after that. Like, but seeing that and watching him take down a much bigger dude, it was just like, he's legit. And he was legit. Yeah. Guido was a shoot fighter for the longest time.
Yeah.
And I know, like everybody says, oh, you're a shoot fighter. I'm an MMA fighter from Japan. Legit, he was. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And it's even Tony. Tony, I've never seen bigger balls on someone when it came down to it.
Yeah.
I've seen incidents where the first guy out there is Tony.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, those were legit guys.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And the time you were there, right? These are the last years of ECW, right? And that time period has been, well, like all ECW, but particularly that end has been, oh my God, dissected, talked about, hypothesized, whatever. It's just, ugh. let's talk. First of all, what was, you always hear about ECW in the locker room. And that camaraderie, that family, even at the end, how was it? Was it still this close knit Island of Misfit Toys?
That's why it was. I think it was, everybody was looking out for other people too. Like there's I'm not going to lie and make it sound like some magic land. There's a few people who they were out for themselves. And when money dried up, they couldn't care less. There were others who didn't prescribe to that. There were others who felt that this was something worth fighting for, keeping, you know, whatever we could do to help, like that sort of thing. Meanwhile, we had no idea, but here we are trying to put out fires.
Yeah.
And the rest of the ship is going down. But like people, you get the call. Hey, did you hear what happened? Oh, what's going on? Hey, did you get a call? No, did you get a call? Oh, okay. It was... Everybody who was in their, you know, I don't want to say their clique, but because the locker room kind of, it was a big clique. Like there were people who were, you know, who were all about family. And then there were people who were just like, well, unless I'm getting paid, I don't care.
Yeah.
And that happens. But again, we all got calls and we're trying to keep each other in the loop.
Yeah.
So if somebody got a call about something, it would immediately call the next person. Hey, check it out. I just got a call. This, that.
Yeah.
So, and then when people stopped getting calls, nobody had any news to report. It was like, oh, man, what the hell?
So there was a fear, though, right? There was a feeling of, oof, maybe we're treading a little water.
Well,
it's like a show-by-show type. I mean, was there a little bit of that feel?
Yeah. Because like when we would get we would come in for the weekend, we'd get to a venue and somebody'd be like, oh, hey, did you see WCW closed down? And we're like, wait, what? You know, that sort of thing. And yeah, they're done. Wait, what? How did we beat them? How did we get past? And that's, you know, I mean, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Because how are we not canceled and they are?
Yeah, right.
You know? And it was like, And that was the big push for us. Like, we were all like, wow, we've gotten better than that. So now we're number two, technically.
Sure.
Wow. You know, like, it's like, oh man. But then again, all of a sudden, like, the vibe changes and you're like, oh, we might not be coming in next week. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Or somebody didn't show up for this show and you're like, wait, what happened? What happened?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
crap. What happened?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, there were times when you do get the, you know, the, oh shit vibe. And then there was times when you get the, like the water cooler shit, you know, yeah. where it's just like, oh man, holy crap.
Yeah. So, and, yeah. And you see the videos and stuff of like events and things of like Balls Mahoney. It seemed like he was ever the optimist, right? Always saying, oh yeah, man, brother, Paul's just, he's just getting this deal and then we're back on. And I mean, was he like that in the locker room? Just the ever.
So
because he you know, lived ECW. Was yeah. he just ever the optimist or just so hopeful or what was it? I mean,
a little bit of, so I was lucky to travel with Balls. And I say lucky now because, you know, it's in the past.
Yeah, sure.
But we used to travel a lot together. And it was optimism mixed with cynicism. Where
okay.
it was, oh no, this would be great. We'll do this. And then be in the car and the fuck did the fuck that. Fuck him. And he was, you know, because he was worried too.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah.
it's like, I mean, he's human and he has human problems despite what you think.
Yeah.
Well, despite right, yeah. him being a caveman, he had oh, no. human problems to deal with. Yeah. He had, you know, family and everything else. And he had bills to pay just like the rest of us. And so, yes, he was the optimist and he knew no matter what, like, honestly, if ECW closed the next day, he would ride out the rest of his life as, I'm going to go kill other people with chairs.
Sure.
I'll kill them in the Indies.
Yeah. yeah. And so were you there prior to their deal with TNN or did they already have that deal in place when you?
Oh yeah. No, no.
Yeah, okay. I thought so. So when they got that deal, when the TNN deal came, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all know how that turned out in yeah. retrospect, but at that time when all, bam, you get news, hey, we're on TNN. This is mm-hmm. a national. Did it all of a sudden, everybody just go, yeah, we're there. We've got a national. I mean, were there people thinking this is the savior right here?
50-50.
Okay.
It was like we went to a lunch thing. I say again, my brain's a mess. We went to some kind of lunch thing, a meet and greet sort of thing, where we met people from TNN. And I always labeled it as very Davy and Goliath people. Like they just seemed so like put together and. You know, if you were to talk to them, they'd be like, well, praise God. And you're like, okay, sure. All right. And it's like, okay. And they were nice people. They were very nice. Like, they were cordial to us and everything. But it really did feel like you let a bunch of, like, park dogs in with a bunch of not park dogs.
Yeah, I like, remember at the time, I mean, I heard this news and I thought, oh, that's cool, right? There's another show. And then I thought, yeah, but isn't that country music station? What?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah.
How does that work?
So there's part of you that's like, oh, cool, we've got a bunch of rednecks. So this will be great.
Yeah.
And then you turn out, it's like, well, TNN's not really redneck. TNN is more like, hey, let's wear our button-ups and our bolo ties.
A little shinier, isn't it?
yeah. Well, more Garth Brooks than it is Toby Keith.
that's right, yeah. 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 That's what I, you know, it's like, it seemed peculiar, but I thought, well, you know, I mean, I you know, anything, I get, you know, it was all right, but... And it didn't turn out that way. And it real quick. And but
that was the thing too. We all thought, we said, oh, well, cool. Let's see what happens.
Sure.
And everybody had that in their head of, you know what? They could change. We're not going to change.
Sure.
We're going to do whatever we want. F them.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't happen.
No. And I got to touch on, because, and I know, again, I know you probably told this story many times, but we got to mention that in the history books, Big Sal's got a win over Scott Hall at yeah. a 2000 ECW house show.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you tell the story, and it's not, mm-hmm. but it's not just that. There's more to the story, right? Because it kind of shows the character of a Scott Hall, though, right?
Yes, 100%.
More than just being, oh, it's a win, it's a local guy. It shows what Scott Hall was.
Yes, 100%. And that's why, like, to this day, when if so no joke, I'm just telling this anecdote for a reason. Some indie idiot in Florida. I was living in Florida for a while, and some indie moron came in and he was talking about him and Scott Hall hanging out in 2001 or 2002 and how they were doing rails off of cars and derp. And I said, dude, like, because again, he's just talking out his ass. And it's like, this, no. I had to stop him. Like, put it this way, I don't go around and be like, I'm in the ECW. I've never done that to anybody. I've never been like, do you know me? I've never done it.
Yeah.
But I had to be like, I had to tell this guy, I'm like, you're an idiot. And I was like, you're a moron. And he's like, what do you mean? You don't even know. I said, I do know him. I said, stop.
Yeah.
I said, you're an idiot. And then he's, you know, he, when I told him, he's like, oh, no. And the best part was he told me I had died years earlier. He said, no, Sally Graziano died. I said, yo, he did, like three times. But yeah, Scott Hall was amazing. And then I got to speak, and this is the one that I know, I hate doing this because it's like, I hate people on Facebook when somebody dies and they have to show the picture they got with him at a fan convention. And it's like, dude, shut up, stop it.
Yeah.
Or it's like, oh man, Mark Hamill died. Oh, well, here's me and Mark Hamill at Comic-Con. Yeah, you weren't hanging out with him. You paid him $500 to take a picture with him, you dickweed.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were at a Legends convention at the arena, at ECW Arena. And I got to, Scott was at one of the tables, and I went over to him and I said, I don't know if you remember. He goes, oh, shut up, man. And he starts talking. We start laughing. And I go, you know, and I pulled out a $10 bill and I was like, can I get it? He goes, get the fuck away from me. So we're laughing. And I told him, I said, I want to thank you. I said, I honestly said thank you that night. I go, but I never got to thank you. That was amazing. You took a shot and you did it. And he goes, no, man, it was great. We had fun. And he goes, and you know, I wish I could have helped you. I said, you did.
Yeah.
You did, man. But like, no pretense. There was nothing else. He didn't want anything. Nothing I could do for him. You know what I mean? Like, but he came and he brought it up. He brought, said to Tommy, why don't we do it? And, you know, despite Dreamer, no, that's terrible. It's a terrible idea.
Spot on.
Yeah, we just saw him we did the awesome championship wrestling show in Poughkeepsie at the arena.
And of course, Tommy was there, right?
Oh yeah. He worked with against us.
Okay.
Danny Doering had a Poughkeepsie Sucks Egg shirt, and on his headband it said Lachlan. So they're like 10 minutes into the match, and Dreamer goes, "Does your headband say Lachlan?" And he goes, "What did you think it said?" And he goes, "They've had this on all night." Yeah, Dreamer just doesn't pay attention to certain things.
Yeah,
certain things just get past him.
Yeah, but like with Scott, man, it's, I like, you know, you gotta respect the guy who knows he could take the loss, still get over.
Won't gonna hurt him at all.
No, and you would gain more by going over. It's a win-win. No one's gonna remember or care that Scott, you know, Big Sal went over Scott Hall, because here we are talking about it now, and what are we doing? We're praising Scott Hall.
Right? I mean, yeah.
So I mean,
yeah.
And you know, you gotta love you because you hear so much talk about Scott, you know, but it's always good to hear those stories where, you know, Scott was great, you know, knew how to give back, and that's
the other thing too. So like before I knew what a dark match was, I was at a dark match in Poughkeepsie, New York, in the Mid Hudson Civic Center. I went with another Johnny Rods guy, Larry Briscoe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was told this is for his dark match, so I doesn't mean anything to me. I'm 17. I don't know dick. I know nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, we're here. We're going for Larry. So I'm in this WWE locker room with, you know, Yokozuna and, you know, Kevin and the Click, Kevin Nash and those guys. I was petrified because Kevin Nash gave me a look. And I guarantee you, like, he couldn't remember me from shit.
Yeah.
But all these people who were there. And at one point, it was like, what's his name? 123 Kid. It just came from doing some sort of a skydiving promo. Super cool to me, super nice to me, and all those things. I got to meet them all later, you know, when I was in the business. And I, again, the people who were super nice, Scott Hall, 123 Kid, you know, all these guys, they were the guys who, they had nothing to lose. You know, they weren't worried about me taking a spot.
Yeah.
Whereas there were guys who were established, the clique, who were all in there and everybody's playing cards and everything else, having fun. And just, you couldn't, you took a second just to bust my chops or give me a dirty look. Like, I'm not here for your job, dude. Like, yeah. I mean, seriously. And that's, I never saw a need for it. And yeah. Guys like Scott Hall made me rethink, you know, not that I was ever like a complete dick to people. Well, yeah. But like, like people in the business, if I met somebody new, why shit on him? Why shit on him? Like, sure. This kid's not going to take my spot. Yeah. You know, he's not here to carry Guido out to the ring. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. It's like, just any chance you got to help somebody, help them, you know? Yeah. And the same thing, I always felt the same way with fans. Like, people talk about fans, oh, they're annoying. And now with this, I know it's a different era. Oh, I was mobbed by fans. Where are you, you poor bastard?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you in the business for, man? Oh, there's a fan following me. Yeah, okay. Well, if he gets out of hand, smack the shit out of him. What do you want me to tell you? Like, what, are you going to cry about it?
Yeah.
Stop. Enough. But I never saw a need to tell nobody, no, you can't have an autograph right now.
Sure.
Or if I can't do it now, I will come back. Please be here. I'll come back and do this.
Yeah.
You know, I'll catch you after the show. I promise. Meet me in the back. Come in the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do those things because why? Why be a dick? There's no reason for it.
And that
we already have our spot. We have our shot. We've been on TV. We did our thing. We're not losing money. It's costing us nothing.
Yeah. And that's,
Kumbaya, but dude,
no. Just, and that, I mean, that applies to everything, not just wrestling, right? Don't, man, it, why be a dick?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just,
well, no, I mean, I'm a dick to everybody. I hate people.
I do too, but I mean, I just avoid them. I don't seek to cause a pain, man. I just stay away from them.
Yeah.
So another cool thing though about your time in ECW, which a lot of people can't say, is you got to appear in the ECW video games.
Is that cool? I mean, have you played them?
I have. Yeah, a few times. I mean, but yeah, they're not great.
But hanging out at Acclaim was cool. Hanging out at Acclaim was awesome.
Tell me about this process. How did this process come about? What are you doing at Acclaim?
We went to Acclaim and hung out all day. And again, I'm hanging out with my friends. I'm hanging out with Danny and Nova and those guys. Meanwhile, Spike and Chetty are doing the cap motion cap stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait a minute, Spike's doing my moves? How's that going to look? And then you look how I look on the screen. You're like, yeah, now I get it.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, because you know he walked around and did this, and I said, dude, you know, come on. But yeah, we did the recordings for our voices. We got to do the stupid things. And, you know, we all did our dumb little things. Some didn't make it, some made it. Like, it was just, it was funny. And then we got to hang out and they gave us toys and games. And like, yeah, we're idiots. Like, I mean, that's all you had to do. We were happy for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And then we hung out. We saw their playroom, their test room, and it was like grandma's boy. Like, it was like that, except we were like, oh boy, I wish we worked here.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like, I don't, again, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but like, we didn't get paid anything big for that.
Yeah, sure.
But like, here we are. We just spent 12 hours in this freaking place and we're happy as shit because we really want toys and games. Yeah. And it's like, wait, shit, we should have got paid for this. That'd have been good. That'd have been cooler. But you know, here we are driving home going, oh, we got Shadow Man, another game that sucked. And I remember it because I kept it for the longest time and I just threw it away.
Remember that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just threw it out because it sucked. But yeah.
And it's weird because those games are so divided, right? Because some of the hardcores, you know, at least like Hardcore Revolution, the first one, they swear by it, but then the second one not. You know, it is what it is. I don't know. But it's still one of those things that a lot of guys from that era can't say they accomplished or that they did, right?
Yeah. Then you get also, but then I look at it this way. Like, when I was still riding high on that, then like Nova and those guys, the Jersey guys, would have Wednesday nights, they would play Fire Pro.
Oh, head and shoulders above.
Right. And then it would be like, oh, well, we made a Sal E guy. Oh, we also made a Bill Cosby and a Freddy Krueger, too. So you're like, oh, okay, cool. That's all it takes. Yeah, this wasn't that big a deal. No. Let's be fair.
Yeah. And it's so cool. It's not cool. It's so weird, though, in retrospect. To think here you had ECW with, you know, they're on a national channel, quote unquote, and they're making video games. They've got a magazine. They're just trading cards. There's action figures, but they're struggling to stay alive.
Yep. Look at the toys. Yeah. So let's just break down the toy look. Tommy Dreamer in the yellow life vest.
Yeah.
like, what the shit was that? Like, dude. And then, like, we got to, and then when Jack Pacific got involved with other stuff, like, we got to see some of the molds and sculpts. So it was like, oh man, awesome. And then they just never happened.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was really cool to see. But then at the same time, too, it's like, oh, well, are we getting paid anything different? No. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. No, cool. We have a figure, though. And for some of us, that was enough. Like, that was cool enough. And then, oh, the money will come later. Once this all, that was really, honestly, that was the big hope. This is all getting thrown up in the air. When it all lands is when all this will pay off.
Yeah.
So my loyalty will pay off then. And that, you know, being a good guy and eating shit on this, you know, I'm not gonna bitch today. That'll pay off later.
Yeah,
I mean, then later never came. So you're like,
That could have been the tagline of ECW, right? The money will come later.
Yeah, it'll come later. But wait for it. That should have been it.
So how
ECW? Yeah. Wait for it.
So how did you ultimately find out that ECW was done?
Danny called me and was like, "Did you get a call?" And I'm like, "Nope." He goes, "How about you?" He goes, "Nope." I said, "Oh." Okay. And that was odd. Like, normally we get the call. Okay. Here's your stuff. Here's your flight. Here's this, here's that. And then, you know, you'd hear from Dreamer, "Hey, you're not going to do this one. We'll have you come in next one." Okay. No problem, dude. Especially if it's just a house show. Understood. Yeah. Save the money.
Sure.
And then it was, "Well, we're not going to have you come in today." Okay. "We don't need you next week." Okay. Well, you know, and then you get the call from your buddies and it's like, "Hey, did you get it? No, I didn't. How you? No. Oh, okay."
So never, no official call that it's done. Just the lack of call.
Not to me. So yeah, I guess I was low man on the totem pole. So
you weren't at the final, the Pine Bluff show, that final. Nope. I know Guido and Tony were there, but no Sal.
Nope. Nope.
Didn't need to carry out Guido that one last time, huh?
Yeah. Need it.
You got to do that later again, somewhere. But
I mean, yeah. So, yeah.
So when WWE bought out ECW, right? Mm-hmm. Did you go to Ohio Valley for a while?
I had moved down. I was out there completely separate, to be fair.
Okay.
I wasn't planning on it.
Uh-huh.
But then I just, in the circles I was in, wound up going, hanging out at OVW, just going to the shows because I enjoyed hanging out with Al. Like, me and Al became really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed watching the process of the show.
Yeah.
That's where I met guys like, Ben Dewar, Ben Hameen. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, amazing talent. The guy's a genius. And he was writing for OVW. And they had him and Mustafa Ali, and they were doing all, you know, the insurgents and the whole bit.
Yeah.
And I knew him from ECW. He was a mark in the audience. Yeah. And the guy was just such a nice guy. And then, so now I got to meet all these people again. And I was in OVW. I was hanging out at that point. And I was just going to the shows and talking with people. And I got to meet, Drew McIntyre and Stu, you know, Wade Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys were just coming there. And they were just such baby face. It was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I look now, it's just so funny.
Yeah.
But like ODB and all the girls, like, all the people, Punk, even Punk was coming down.
Yeah.
And Punk was, they treated him like a redheaded stepchild, which was like hysterical.
Yeah.
Because here he was, he had come to ECW and couldn't get a job with us. They kind of passed on him, and then they moved him up, and then he was in OVW, and then it seemed like the guys in WWE just shat on him. Like, they couldn't get him, they wouldn't give him any kind of respect.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is what it is. But I was hanging out there and then kind of sitting on the edge of the pool with everybody, mm-hmm. because I also wasn't my brain. I didn't want to be on the road. I kind of wanted to just go home, be somewhere, home.
Yeah.
And it around that point I had gotten hurt again. And I had a spine issue. So that was like one of the three spinal surgeries I had to have, which is why I missed the one pay-per-view. Like, Tommy calls me and he's like, "We want you to do a thing. We're going to do a thing where everybody's going to sit around the table, like the Big Dom thing." And I said, "Great, that'll be awesome." And then I had surgery and I was like, "I can't even walk." Mm. You know, it's like, I'm still recovering from spinal surgery. So it's like, awesome. And that was the night Meanie wound up taking the hit from JBL.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And like we all talked because like me, I was like, oh man, wish I was there for that, because shit.
Yeah, well, so you did a TNA appearance, right? Was it just the
Yep.
one?
Yeah,
Yeah.
we did the one, and then they wanted to bring Tony and Guido back, and I was like, okay, yeah, cool. But they were again treating them more seriously. It
Yeah.
was like we don't need the comedy bit,
Yeah.
sort
Yeah.
of. So yeah, it worked out. It worked. Honestly, I enjoyed the TNA part, and I got a lot of exposure from it, and a lot of people like booked me, and it was cool. I had a great time, but like after that, it was just kind of like, all right, that's fine, because again, I was also settling in, I was getting married, and like so it was kind of like, all right,
Yeah.
I don't need this anymore.
Yeah, and you did a few shows around 2009-ish, and then you've had, like you said, you're doing a few shows here and there. So you
I
just,
did them for my friends, guys who I knew.
yeah.
Hey, you want to do this? Sure, man. Yeah, come
Yeah.
in for you, no problem.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. That's fun, right? Not, no
It's
pressure, no
100%
career,
fun.
just getting
Yeah,
to
they
go hang out with
know.
the guys.
Yeah, and it's like, I'd come in, and again, there were certain times that people would yell at me because I do charity shows for people, and I would go, and there's, oh, you know what? Give me gas. We're good, because I drove here. It was nothing.
Yeah.
I didn't have to fly nowhere. You were fine. You know, spend that money something else. Do whatever else, or you know, oh, will you do my show? No, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Well, you just did this show, yeah, because I know that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I know him. I know he's a good guy, and he, you know, I'm paying something back, maybe. You know, that was always my thing. I never saw myself as I'm not a huge talent. I wasn't an innovator of much. You know what I mean? Like it's just like, but I understood what I offered to what we're doing. You're gonna have fun. We're gonna be entertaining. End of story.
Yeah.
You know, you wanted me to do something? Sure, I'll do it. Like whether again, and this is cliche, 10 or 10,000, you do the same show.
Sure.
So when we would have shows in for like I'm trying to remember his name. I don't want to screw his name up. It was in there were Jersey shows. We do the high schools and stuff. Johnny Falco, Dapper Johnny Falco. We do shows for him, and we'd work with like the headhunters, and they would be like, "Oh, let's jump through tables." And it's like, "Bro, relax, relax. We're in high school. There's
Yeah.
50 people here. We'll do a big spot. We don't have to kill each other."
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, why risk hurting yourself? We're all old fat men. Stop. You know, and it'd be like, okay, and you want me to jump through a table? I'll do a table. I have no problem. Doing tables was easy. I had no problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like, it was one of those things of like, I know how this works and I know how to do it, so I can keep doing it. But then, you know, you go and you do the show, and then they're like, oh, well, we come to our show. We want you to do that. I'm like, no, that's stupid. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it for your backyard wrestling fed.
Yeah.
But again, I am not shitting on you. I'm just telling you, I'm choosing not to do this. You got guys, you look at guys like Crowbar, right? Crowbar is doing insane things, okay? And he is in amazing shape, and he's smart. Crowbar is one of the smartest dudes out there, and he knows how to do things so he can keep doing them. So he can do this crazy shit at his age. Not that he's like super old, but I mean, we're all old. But I mean, none of us, a lot of us didn't think we were going to hit, you know, 50 anyway.
Yeah. So, what's in the future for Big Sal? And I mean, there's a lot of toy companies out there doing lots of figures. Any chance we'll see a Big Sal figure, convention appearances? I mean, what kind of opportunities are you open to, or just?
No. Oh, I'm open to anything. If somebody wants something, you call me. What are we doing? Okay, and well, again, I'm not going to be a douche to anybody about it. There was a run at some point when it was like I had like five or six calls from
Oh,
video game companies,
yeah.
and it was like, hey, we want to do this, want to sign this, and let us do the artwork. And I'm like, well, let me see the artwork.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have it yet. Well, then you don't need my signature. Do
Yeah.
my artwork. Let me see it. Because again, I'm not trying to be a douche, but I'm if it sucks, I don't want to do it. Because I mean, if they would have honestly, if you would have asked me during for ECW Hardcore Revolution bullshit, I'd been like, no, this sucks. I don't want to be in this. Like, put me in the ET game from Atari. I mean, the same thing. But like, yeah, I kind of I'm careful, and there's certain things I'm not, if I know the person, yeah, whatever, dude, do whatever you want to do. If you make money on it, cool. Like a guy made a bunch of cards for me. Sign these cards for me. Send me back 500 of them. So I'm going to do 500 signatures. Okay. So I sat one night and I did it. And he messaged me back and he's like, oh, there's like 50 cards missing. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me, dude? Like, number one, I didn't, honestly, it wasn't like I beat him out of it. He told me I can keep a bunch of cards. So I kept a bunch of cards. And he's like, there's like 50 cards I need. I'm like, okay. So I mailed him it and he said, I never got them. I'm like, okay, well, go fuck yourself now because now you're annoying. And I've handed those cards out to people just as like, here, take it. Here, take it. Like, fuck off now. But yeah, I'm down. I especially now in my advanced age, I like to I stick to my art stuff. I'm a nerd. I get my game nerd. So I game and, you know, I make stuff. I make, draw dumb monsters and make little clay figures. And that's what I want to do. And like, I don't sell them. I don't go out and peddle them in any way. But if I find something I want to do and I find something I can, we'll have fun doing, I'm going to do it. So, oh, you want to come to a show? Yeah, what is it? Oh, this is, I'm not even making this up. It was a school arts and crafts, like craft show, but like they were having some baseball player who I don't want baseball. So some baseball player was going to be there and they wanted to have me. And I'm like, are you sure? Like most of the kids, I've been off TV longer than they've been alive. So yeah. I'm like, I don't see a point in that, but you know, if you want, I'll, you know, give you some cards or whatever. See if that, if, like, I don't know, like, I don't understand sometimes. I've actually had a kid came up to me, Guido and Tony, and he hands us a picture and he says, could you sign this? And I look at this kid, I go, how old are you? And he goes, 9. I said, 9. I said, where did you see us? And he can't answer. And I said, so your dad sent you over here. And he goes, no, I like you guys. And I said, okay, that's great. Do you know how you were born? I said, your dad banged your mom while one of our matches was on at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he was like, oh, it's the FBI. Cool. And he banged your mom in that time. And that's where you came from. You have not seen us on TV ever, sir. But yeah, it's like, I always laugh at that when people say, oh, come do this. And it's like, nobody knows who we are.
Just say, what's your dad's name, you Guido? All right. Well,
yeah. Sal, what's your name, kid?
Yeah. Sal, Guido, or Tony. Oh, well, Sal, thanks for your time. I see in the background there.
My pleasure, man. Thank you.
You got some Bigfoot stuff rocking back here. You're
I'm a Bigfoot
yeah.
mark.
Yeah. Look at that. Oh, I don't know if they won't be able to see the audio with that. I like that. The laid out.
Oh yeah. It's the Shawn Michaels, Burt Reynolds.
Shawn Michaels. That's right. Yeah. Pretty good stuff. Oh, well, Sal, thanks for your time. I appreciate you.
My
doing
pleasure,
it.
Man.
It's a lot of fun talking to you. And I do appreciate your candidness, right? A lot of guys, they want to sugarcoat everything, right? Rose colored glasses. And
yeah, I mean, what for?
It's nice. I know it. That's what I always think, but it's nice. It's just nice to have a conversation, man, and have fun with it.
And, yeah, I mean, that's what we're hearing. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, exactly. So you get to say, okay, cool. We had a great conversation about it. That's all we want to do anyway. It's like, why? What am I going to tell you, a lie? And then somebody's going to go, that never happened.
Yeah.
So, okay, great. So
all I like to do, man, just talk and tell some good stories. And I trust that people like to hear it just as much as me. So,
yeah.
So do you have a way for people to follow you? If they want to check out what Sal's up to, or do you kind of keep to yourself and keep that public
persona
down? Yeah,
like I'm on Instagram, I guess, Ordo Monstrum people. Like I'm not doing anything for people to follow. Okay. There's a kid, WWE Italian Best Fan. This dude has some of our stuff he posts all the time and I will repost it. Okay. He has stuff I didn't even know existed, which is so weird. It's like, where'd you get this from? This was a dark match. It wasn't even on fan cam. And he's like, oh, I have everything. I'm like, great. That's crazy. So yeah. I don't really do anything.
All right. So what's he post that? Does he post it on Instagram or?
Yeah, Instagram. And then, like I said, I usually repost it. WWE Italian Best Fan. Look him up. He's got everything.
Give him the rub. Give him the Scott Hall rub. Go follow him.
Yeah. He's got some, and he's such a good guy too.
There you go. Big Sal says, go follow him. There you go. Well, all right, Sal. Thanks for your time. It was great.
Thank you very much, sir.
And maybe we'll get to chat again down the road and tell some more stories.
Give me a holler. Let me know.
Available on all streaming platforms. It's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course, all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills to keep the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
All right, and thank you to Sal for coming on and doing that interview. I'll probably have him back on down the road, talk some more ECW with him. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much all the platforms. Just look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or at The Dave Dynasty, and you can find me. Also, be sure to subscribe to me on YouTube for lots of classic wrestling content, plus all of my various podcasts. Go check out all of the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. You can find the individual podcasts on your favorite podcast platforms, or you can visit WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Visit ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account and then download the app on all of your smart devices. Now, next episode, guys. I've been saying this a couple times. I had to reschedule. It's my fault. Conflicts came up. But next episode, my guest is going to be Joe Smith, the son of Bulldog Don Kent. We're going to remember his father, talk about the career of one of the most underappreciated wrestlers in history. Guys, it's going to be a fun episode. You're going to love it. You're going to want to hear about Bulldog Don Kent. Trust me. Everybody that's a fan of professional wrestling needs to know who Bulldog Don Kent is. So thank you for joining me. Make sure you subscribe, guys, and we'll see you next episode. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.